Commissioner Weston, are you on?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
I do want to mention real quick, if we're having issues with the volume not being loud enough, we can actually turn the volume up on the TV. That's where the speakers for Zoom are coming from. So it might.
All right. Yeah, because I can barely hear you.
Okay.
Got old ears. Good evening. I'm going to call this meeting May the 10th, 2021 to order. Welcome everybody. We have some guests in our audience tonight, and it's certainly nice to look out and see faces. So thank you for being with us. And first on the agenda, I'm going to call for Commissioner John Trent to say the invocation and pledge of allegiance.
Thank you, Chairman. Oh, Heavenly Father, please thank you for the day that we are having today and the meeting that has come about to discuss the county's business, to allow our people in Bertie County to have a voice, and also for county commissioners, our first responders, our emergency services, and people that are out there that are struggling every day to make things move forward. God bless the school system, our people who are school teachers, our school board who is here today. God bless them. And we thank you, Lord, to be here with us during this meeting, and thank you. God bless, and amen.
Amen. Amen. Stand, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Trent. First, I would like to, because I keep forgetting, so I'm going to put it up here so I can remember. We need to do a roll call since we are, some of us are present in person and some are, there's one by way of Zoom. So when I call your name, please say if you're here or on by way of Zoom, please. Commissioner Robertson.
Person.
Commissioner Trent.
In person.
Commissioner Atkins.
Here.
Commissioner Wesson.
I'm here via Zoom.
Thank you. And I'm Commissioner Lee, and I'm present. Okay, thank you. So first on our agenda is the CPTA annual report presentation by Pamela Perry. Oops. Yes. Let me back up. Sorry, Pam, we're not quite ready for you.
Okay.
Yeah, we need to do our 3-minute comment section, public comments. So, Ms. Cartwright, are there any public comments at this time?
No public comments at this time.
Okay. I will remind the audience that we will have another 3-minute comment section at the end of the meeting. So if something is said or done during this meeting that you have a comment on or you forgot to email Ms. Cartwright, there's still time. Are there any public comments from those that are in the audience? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on. So now, Pam, the CPTA annual report presentation by Pamela Perry, Executive Director. And she is with us by way of Zoom. Pam?
Good evening, everyone. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Cartwright, will you be, do you have the presentation up or do they have it in front of them or?
We do have it up on the screen.
Okay, I just couldn't see it. That's fine. Okay, so I'll begin. This is our 1920 annual report fiscal year. And the balance sheet with the assets and liabilities is $2,646,010.29. Our revenue source was $1,172,942.57. The expense disbursement is $1,355,344.05. And at the bottom of that, you'll see the percentages that the revenues came from, which was the 44% federal, 3% state, 2% local, and 46% fares. And the expenses, we had capital was 16%, administration was 20%, and the operational was 55%, I apologize. We did have a revenue loss within the 19-20 fiscal year, which was a loss due to ridership due to COVID, which, you know, started for us in February 2020. If you look at the other side, which is the operating statistics, our operating cost was $651,849.42, which gave us a 1.25 cent cost per mile. The associated maintenance cost was 0.33 cent. Our passenger trips for Berkshire County was 6,329, Halifax 14,750, Hereford County 7,410, Northampton County 11,122, which gave us a grand total of 39,611. Now, we did have a 33% trip loss from last year, and this was mainly due to COVID as well. Below that is a map of our four county area, which shows our representation. For Berkshire, we have Mr. Lewis Hoggard, Ms. Denise Clark that serves for Berkshire County. For Hereford County, we have Mr. Axum Bracey. He is actually our vice chair, Mr. George Holly. From Northampton County is Mr. Ossie Broadnax and Rebecca Stapleton, which was our chair in the 1920. Now, currently, Mr. Lewis Hoggard from Berkshire County is our chair. From Halifax County, we have Mr. Chris Roundtree serves as our secretary, Mr. Alan Purser, and Ms. Patricia Whalen. I would also like to say, you know, we were able to obtain the CARES grant funding that really has carried us through this pandemic, and we're very thankful for it. If it wasn't for that, I don't know what we'd have done since we had lost, you know, so much the revenue source. And we have some vaccine funding in here through the DHHS grant. So if you know someone that's needing a ride to get their shots, please ask them to call in here and let us know. I've also let the Berkshire County Agent Office know this as well. And I also would like to say, we certainly want to say a big thank you for all your support and your continued support over these years to CPTA. Is there any questions?
Are there any questions?
No.
I'd like to make a suggestion. If we could put that phone number on our Facebook page and website for the ride to get their vaccines, maybe. And would that be the same number that they would call if they just need a ride, period?
Yes. What I could do, Commissioner Lee, is send Ms. Cartwright the little flyer or the little presentation we've got, and it talks about the vaccines, and if you need to ride to call this number, I can send that to her.
That would be great. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you so much for being with us this evening.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me. I'm going to Zoom off now.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Y'all take care.
So next on our agenda is the Berkshire County Schools update and budget request by Dr. Otis Smallwood, superintendent, and he's brought some guests with him. So we're thrilled that they are in person with us this evening. The floor is all yours, Dr. Smallwood.
Okay. Chairman Lee, Comm- Commissioner Robinson, Commissioner Trent, Commissioner Atkins, Commissioner Wesson. First of all, I want to bring you greetings from the Berkeley County Public School District, our Board of Ed, and greetings on behalf of all our teachers and staff. It's a pleasure to, like you said, Ms. Lee, to be in a meeting where people are actually out in front of you. We've been in a Zoom nation for the past few months. I haven't had a chance to get before you all as a board since I first arrived when I came in 2019. And I guess the first thing I came was begging, so to speak, asking for additional money. But you were so gracious and did that for us, so we were able to pay our teachers and staff supplements. So I know I thank you all individually. So now I thank you collectively, since this is the first time I've seen you all since that has happened. Also, I want to thank you for putting on the ballot the quarter cent sales tax that approved, and that certainly has been a great asset to us so that we can try to sustain these teacher and staff supplements. So Mr. Harris just passed out our presentation, so I got some on the PowerPoint. Mr. White, you got? I need you to kind of control that.
He's putting his work.
I got everybody up to do it. So we go through this. So Mr. White, I know when I want to change, but that's our presentation. So your notebook is kind of broken out by sections, how we want to cover this evening. So section one is the superintendent's message. And of course, that's by law, I have to include a message with the budget. So just to kind of go through this, just talking about the last 14 months and how it's been an unprecedented time for the district and of course everybody. Dealing with COVID and the challenges that we have had, but I certainly do want to just publicly thank everyone who has been a gracious partner to the school district. We've had several stakeholders and families and civic organizations and churches to reach out to make sure our kids' needs were met during this time. We donated several things to our families. Our teachers and staff have done endless amounts of preparation to make sure kids have been educated to the best we can since we had to go to this digital platform. So it's been a tough 14 months, but prayerfully we in the short rows, as my mom used to say, to kind of get through this. But I certainly do want to thank them. Just a few stats. During this time, our child nutrition and bus drivers, you know, even when the kids were home full time, we delivered meals out to the community. And we served nearly 600,000 meals to our students during this time. We purchased over 1,000 Chromebooks and 200 wireless hotspots for our kids and families who requested them. Then we even went back and bought some more because we had some families with more than one child, and that was an issue, right? So we have purchased laptops to put in the hands of families. We've gotten stronger Wi-Fi spots for all of our buildings so people could drive up to do park and learn, so to speak. We have partnered with many community and church organizations so that our families can use their wireless internet, because we know our internet is an issue here in the district, in the county. And through all that, the board and myself and the district stakeholders, we still were able to come together to recreate or write a new strategic plan, new vision, mission, and core values in the midst of all this. So just to briefly go over it, and we'll go through this in another slide, but at the bottom of that letter, we're talking about the five core values that we believe that will support us through the work in our district. That's, of course, supporting the whole child, accountability, making sure everyone is accountable for student success. We're going to work with an enrichment mindset. We're going to continue to build positive relationships. And, of course, we're always going to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's the little slogan that I like, because
Did that come from Mr. Cherry? That sounds like something Mr. Cherry would say.
But of course, yeah. So you know, we our conversations can kind of go all over the place. But when we're in the business of public servants and schools, you know, our conversations should always be about children. So that's what keeping the main thing is about, making sure we focus on the children. All right. So that's kind of the letter in a nutshell. So in section two, we are talking about the strategic priorities. So three of my students there, Aaron, Big T, and DeAndre, they all came to tell me recently they've been accepted to college, and they are going on to North Carolina State and Western Carolina University. All right, Mr. White. This statement right here, I came across in a tweet, Dr. Marcus Jackson. He said, there are a plethora of problems and barriers preventing students from achieving at a high level. And 90% of those have nothing to do with the child. So I like to start off every meeting I have with my administrators to, again, keeping the main thing, it's so much going on, but we should not ever take it out on kids because they need the very best that we can give them each and every day. So that's our strategic plan for the next 4 years. I said we've rewritten a vision, a mission, and we have five core values and our priorities for the next 4 years, and of course the action steps that we're going to take to try to make it over the next 4 years. And like I said, I've already read for you the core values, but our goals or our priorities are going to be a focus on teaching and learning, recruit and retain highly qualified teachers, try to eliminate opportunity gaps, and of course, build community relationships. All right, the next page, I just want to show you that how our goals and our thinking is very much aligned with what the state has. Those three in the top in the pink are the State Board of Education goals. Those are three things they want to accomplish by 2025. And in the green, I'm sure you all have heard about Leandro school districts, about providing a sound basic education. It's been a long running court case that was filed back in the late 90s about children deserving a sound basic education. But an independent study group called West Ed came up with those four goals, five, about how to provide schools, children a sound basic education. And of course, on the bottom of our four strategic priorities. And you can see we are very much in line with our thinking about how we should move kids and move the district forward over the next 4 years. All right, so section three is the state of the district. So next slide. There's a graph from 2015-16 to what's projected next year, our enrollment versus allotment. So, in the spirit of transparency, we know that our population is declining, Bertie, as with our student population as well. So you can see there the chart enrollment versus we've been allowed. Those are state dollars, what we've been allowed per state. And 21-22 is what we have projected to be allowed, the $18.2 million based on 1,917 children in K-12. The next graph is the local appropriation over the same time span. Of course, then it ranges roughly right around $3 to $3.1 million. And of course, the next slide is the amount of kids that we expect to serve in Bertie County Schools next academic year. The 1,911 K-12, the 108 in pre-K, we have 3 and 4 year olds. Pre-K is technically 4 year olds, but we have 90 slots for 4 year olds, and we can accommodate up to 18 3 year olds. So that's 108. So that's a grand total of 2,019 kids that we plan on serving next year in the school district. Like I said, enrollment definitely has declined. However, the needs of students have not. I would even argue to say that the needs are greater. And I don't have to preach to the choir about Bertie County's needs. We all from here, so we know the needs of our kids and families. So our fund balance. As you can see, a few short years ago, we were nearly $750,000 deficit. And we've gradually worked on that. And as you can see, as of the last fiscal year, we're back on the positive side and in pretty good financial shape. And getting through this financial difficulty a few years ago, the district had to borrow money from Child Nutrition, so to speak, but we even paid them back their money and we've still been able to move on the positive side of the line. So our goal, as a superintendent, LGC does not require us to have a specific amount in fund balance, but with so many things that are happening now, you know, we're storm prone and now we're pandemic prone too, right? So like a good 10% would be the goal I would like to see operating in fund balance, which of state funds, and that's operating about 18 million. So about 1.8 is the goal that I would like to see in fund balance. But right now we're at 1.3. All right. So that's a statement from our auditor, Mr. Dale Smith. Overall, the school district has continued to improve its financial performance over the past several years, and the school district appears to be in sound financial condition as of June 30th, 2020. And of course, we are already starting our preliminary audits for this school year as well. All right, just to highlight a few of our accomplishments that we've been able to do over the last couple of years. This is the first time in the history of auditing that our district has received a zero findings audit. Oh. So that's something that we're very proud of. So thank you to Mr. Harrell, the finance team, and HR working closely together by making sure protocols and procedures in place to handle that. We have increased the number of students taking college level courses at Bertie High, the traditional high school. Bertie High School had its first student selected to participate in Governor's School. Bertie County, and this year we had another one. So that's the first time as a county that anybody's gone to Governor's School. Last year it was Aaron Mann, although he didn't get to go because of COVID, but he was selected to go. And this year from the early colleges, Kanaya Day. So she should be attending this summer as well. We have increased our cohort graduation rate from 78% to 84%. We have created what we call our flagship cosmetology program for in our CTE area. Of course, we all want to make sure that our kids are career ready. And that was one of the charges that my board gave me when I was hired to add to our CTE program. So we partnered with Martin Community College to restore cosmetology that we had at Bertie High some years ago. Mm-hmm. But now this is a program that we have back partnered with the community college, and these kids can get, these are college level credits. They can work towards their cosmetology certification. So we are in our second semester of that right now. How many kids are in there, Mr. White? 20 kids currently enrolled in that program. Again, we've increased our CTE offerings. Carpentry, when I got back, we had woodworking. We've changed it to carpentry because we know that's a skill that our community needs. And that's college level courses as well as auto mechanics and welding. And again, it's part of our core values to focus on the whole child, you know. So we want to make sure our kids are college and or career ready. We have revived our AIG program, or as some of you may know, is gifted and talented from few years ago, what it was called when I was in school. We have restored core music to the high school. We've restored music and foreign language and art to all of the elementary schools and middle school. We have restored health science or nursing, as we used to call it, to the high school curriculum. Next year, we are slated to restore drama and theater. At the high school, you know, we have that nice, beautiful auditorium, so we want to make sure we take full advantage of that. Right. We're actually implementing ag in the middle school so we can have a direct line to high school ag program so those kids can be completers in that. And we're even trying to increase our athletic offerings. We know Bertie is football nation and basketball, but we are also trying to see if there's an interest in soccer and also golf.
Can I interrupt one second?
Yes, ma'am.
Is there any, at one time we were discussing electrician or HVAC, something along those lines?
We talked through every single thing we could do with Mark Community, but we can't find it. So that's the major part. We can't find anybody
My electrician friends say it's a huge need.
I've probably talked with about 5 or 6 that I just know, but they have agreed to let kids intern with them, do hours, but they don't want to give up their electrical work to teach the course. Exactly. But we have thought about that HVAC to add back to our repertoire of CTE offerings. All right, so it gets us to our local planning budget. So The next section. So this is section four. So this is just a pie chart of how the funds are broken out. And you can see on the right, the categories that they're broken up into. And then on the next page, it's kind of how the local request is broken out. We have it by department, support student services, all through the office of the superintendent and the amount we are proposing, putting in each one of those departments. So that gives us a grand total of $3,447,671. And then the request is the same as last year's, the three, well, year before last now, because last year gave us an additional 121, but the 3,027 is projected to have collect $70,000 in fines and forfeitures. It's projected to raise the quarter cent sales tax is to raise about $200,000. And of course, an appropriation from my local fund balance. And that equals the 3,447,671. So the next section in your notebook, it's not on the slide, is the appropriation by purpose code. And it's several pages of that. And this is information that you're used to seeing by purpose code and by department of how the money is planned to be budgeted. All right, section five is capital outlay. Again, that request is the same at 375. And of course, it's the pie chart by building in the district. As you can see, with the greatest amount going to Bertie High School, then you'll see why in just a few minutes. So here, this request is by school. Very typical things you see in capital requests, furniture. Yes, sir.
Okay, we looked at the high school. How about the athletic department with the track and field?
It's right here. Okay. It's coming up.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So here, you can see that by building Commissioner Robinson. But if you would go down to
196,000.
That's it.
For the lights for sports fields.
Right.
Okay.
So we have, that hadn't been a request, I guess, in recent years, but we know our athletic complex is getting, it needs to be upgraded. We are very well under the North Carolina High School Athletic Association's recommendation. So, of course, our lighting, the poles, and all that's outdated.
Yeah, we might run a track there, man, you know?
Yeah, so we got a master plan, but this is just phase one, not unless you all are just going to be extra generous and just. I don't mean to joke. But we got to kind of break this up in phases, right? So sure. I'm just still kind of, I never knew lights were so expensive. But that 196 is a down payment on the whole lighting project. So I think the lighting project is $1.7 million. So this is like on a lease plan.
Is that replacing all of it? I mean,
the football field, the two softball, baseball field, the tennis courts, the whole athletic
complex
is doing the lighting, and all of our lighting are not up to high school athletic associations. I know, Commissioner. I just couldn't believe what the lights were called. Yeah.
Well, we're getting ready to replace the ones at the airport, too. And I'm hoping it's not going to be this kind of money because we don't have this kind of money.
So it's the poles, too, because, you know, we got all wooden poles. We got to get the metal poles. And they got to be repositioned, some of them. It's a lot. So that's kind of what's different in this request that hadn't been in prior requests. So that those numbers there add up to the $375,000.
You say you're not up to the standard for the
lighting for the North Carolina High School Athletic Association.
Okay. So are they requiring like LED lighting or? Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And we're not there yet.
No, ma'am.
No. Okay.
So again, on the next slide is, of course, it's broken out by purpose code, those same numbers, district capital improvement, high school, middle school, and so forth to add
Can I ask another question?
Yes, ma'am.
So the canteen sales, where does that money go to?
Canteen sales.
I mean, I would think that money would go toward those kind of projects. Like the hot dogs and hamburgers you sell Concessions, yes. Sorry, thank you.
That money kind of keeps the.
I went back to my prison days. Sorry.
It's not that much. Okay. Like it pays the referees and things of that nature. Have a like a little kid to buy some of the things to operate the athletic program, but it's nowhere near.
Okay. You don't sell that many hot dogs out there?
No, man. We need to sell some filet mignons to get that kind of money. All right. The next section, of course, like all school districts and state, local municipalities, we have been a benefactor of COVID funds too, right? And so this time with COVID funds, well, I shouldn't say this time, it's the first time I've been a recipient of these funds. We all have, but usually when you get money from the federal government, it's a lot of things, it's a lot of restrictions, and there's still a lot of restrictions. But some of the typical capital requests that we will come to you all for, like air conditioning, chillers, and those kinds of things, we are able to use this money. So that's really a blessing because, again, that's another project that adds up very, very quickly as well. So these are some of the things that we have spent and can use the COVID monies for. And of course, all of these is trying to work through COVID and get kids back in school, providing them mental health services, improve preparedness and preparation. And then the next slide are some continuing benefits that we can use the money for. So one thing that we have to plan for this year, of course, is summer school. That's a requirement, and we have to use this COVID money for that. But of course, now we're looking at the capital projects that improve ventilation. That's what's highlighted in pink. To reduce the risk of virus transmission and support student health. So again, we are very fortunate enough, next slide, Mr. White, to be able to try to tackle some of these big projects by school that we won't have to come and ask you for money for, because as you can see, like Windsor Elementary, that's the biggest project we have, and they need a whole new complete heating AC unit. And these are just rough estimates, but of course that's $1.7 million. And so we would have to patch it or just, kick the ball down the road until we were able to do something. But we are blessed to be able to use those funds to take care of all these big ticket items here at Westbury T. That's a part of their heating and air conditioning system as well. And that's projected to cost about $640,000. Two chillers at the middle school, $775,000. And of course, window replacements in every elementary school is about $300,000. Next slide, Mr. White. Orlando HVAC, $231,000. Askew HVAC upgrades. Bipolar ionization, of course, the jury's still out on that air cleaning stuff. But that's
simple.
Yes.
What year was maybe Smells can tell me, Mr. Chair, you probably tell me this. It was middle school built.
2007.
2007? Mm-hmm. So 14 years ago?
Yes. It opened in 2007. Yeah.
That money that you're getting could the buildings be, especially the high school and middle school, be outfitted with some things that make the electricity go and the electricity goes out, generators.
So the state sent out a list of some possible things that we could do. The generators would not, because it doesn't directly affect. But everything that we could try to squeeze in there that was on the list, we tried to put it in there. So it's roughly about $5 million worth of items that we can have done to fix over the next 3 years, because the money has to be spent over the next 3 years.
Yes.
All right. So that was it, low-down, dirty version. But are there any questions at this time?
Commissioner Wesson, have you got any questions?
No questions, Chair Lee, but I did want to say thank you to Dr. Smallwood and to the Board of Ed for allowing us access and storage for the backpack program. During the time when the schools were closed to in-person 1,400
days. Michelle Watson, we lost you. I think you got it.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, yes. I just wanted to thank the school board and Dr. Smallwood for their support of the backpack program. We ran a special program over the last 2 months, April, and will extend over May, that will provide over 14,000 pounds of chicken to our backpack families. We have 180 families, and I mean, that's quite a bit of protein. And we thank Purdue and we thank the school system for.
We've lost him again, I think. I would just like to say a big thank you to you and the Board of Education, to your staff. I kept my grandchildren 3 weeks during COVID, and I was school teacher to a kindergartner and a fifth grader for 3 weeks. I love my grandchildren, but I'm no teacher. And the patience or lack thereof was not a good thing. So just a huge bow to the teachers and the staff of this school system. Y'all have done a remarkable job.
Thank you.
Keeping it going and keeping the thing.
Keeping the main thing.
So thank you so much, and please extend that thank you to your staff.
Yes, ma'am, I would do.
I know it's not been easy, and there's been some trying times. I've talked to some of the teachers, and you know, it's
been the longest, but 15 months of my life. I tell you.
But we're glad y'all are back in school.
And we are too. We are too.
Yes, we're glad. Yeah. It was a good day when my grandchildren went back to school.
Dr. Smallwood.
Yes, sir.
I take my hat off to Virtue County Board of Education and the outstanding job they are doing. Anytime that you have to modify, change, adopt, all those other movements that y'all have to make it happen, y'all doing an outstanding job with the number of the COVID students and cases we had within the district, Mr. Chair, were to 0 to 1 or 2, which was none according to the numbers of students that attend the district. And that's a job within itself. And, you know, let the staff know that I really appreciate the outstanding job they've done. And anytime they have another teacher's appreciation, we count me in.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Thank you.
They thanked you highly last week.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All right.
All right, next on our agenda is tall glass of water, our Bertie Beach update from project consultant Robin Payne, and she will be joining us in person. Chairman Wesson, did you make it back with us? Chairman, listen to me. Commissioner Wesson, did you make it back with us?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
All right, good. Big presentation, sir. Hello. How are you?
I am good, thank you. I'm waiting for Steve also.
Okay.
So give me 2 seconds.
Hi. There's Steve. get it. You can, but you can't. We understand.
It's been a long day, so y'all can enjoy.
Thanks for coming.
This is that in case we need that water.
For the audience purposes, we are trying to get some technology going here. We'll be with you in just a minute. If Mr. Woods, I'm gonna him come in now.
We could start talking, but it's easier with the visual.
Yes,
so.
Yes.
There we go. Yep, we're ready. Thank you.
Hi. Wonderful.
Well, hello, everyone. We're going to. We have a few things to go over with you tonight. We've been meeting with Vines regularly on an update. We're getting closer and closer to getting our construction drawing started. And the first is electric versus solar, and we're real excited about being able to provide electric and a line running to phase one location as opposed to solar. We're, what, about $8,000 less to go ahead and do the electric. So the line that they've spec'd can handle what we need for the additional activities at the site. So this is really good news. So we feel like we're a lot closer to moving forward on the other activity locations. Originally, the solar was about $68,000, $70,000, and then the electric is coming in at that price right there. So we're happy about that. Now, how do I advance it to the next slide? If
she had a
PDF. Right. Yeah. Oh, but that had our. Can you scroll that back up one? I forgot that has water. We also wanted to just give you a heads up about water. We've been talking to Vines and the engineers again about getting their construction drawings started. So, you know, for phase one, we're putting in a well. It's a relatively low cost, but it also brings up the question on the bigger part of the site when we bring water to the site. So we're going to have engineering drawings done and also we're in the exploratory stage for that. What do you have?
And actually, as you will well remember what we've gone through with the airport, putting water down there is going to be rather expensive because we're going to probably have to put a tank like we did at the airport. So this was already on the radar to put a well to start with, to the tune of give or take about $17,000 to $18,000. We'll take care of that for right now. but in we actually had in phase three to put water lines back there. But we'll have to see where the money comes from to be able to put water lines, because we're probably going to be looking at $350,000 to $400,000 total to get water back there. Period. And the other part of that is it's going to be tough to have an RV park, the camper parking, all that without water. We're not sure that we can put a well in that will suffice for all of that activity up front. So sooner or later, we're going to have to, Robinson, the grant person, sooner or later, she's going to have to, you know, try to help us find money for that, because it's going to probably be tough.
That's certainly something we can be on the lookout between now and then. Commissioner Robertson.
Okay. We can utilize county water.
That's what we're talking about, county water.
But you got laid of pipes.
No, I'm talking about, digging a well, talking from the well.
Oh.
You know, we wouldn't need no well if we use county water. Is that correct?
Well, you're absolutely correct. But the problem is getting county water back there. It's going to be a major expense of money we don't have. Again, it would be somewhere between $350,000 and $400,000
to use county water.
To use county water and get it all the way to the back. And that's their company doing the estimates.
And if we put a well in, then we could at least operate the restrooms and the showers in that building that we picked out the other day.
That's
yeah.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this. How many spaces are we considering and for the RV parks and the hookups?
Well, right now we really haven't even got into that point.
Okay.
The exact.
Yeah, we're looking at maybe 10 RV, driveway RV, and then I think it's 8 pull behind. We could pull a detachable camper, and then we have primitive camping, and then we have cabins. So, but we can send you,
because I'm very interested in, I think the county can make money, and we need to make money any way we can to help support some other things that we're trying to do. Now, if we can make money and put it right back into the beach for like the cost of some of the expenses that we are carrying, that would be good.
Well, I don't know if this is the exact time or not, but I can tell you, Robin and I and Donna had a long conversation this morning after our meeting with Vines, and we're hoping that y'all will give us some time in a
work session.
Just a work session one day, letting us explain exactly where it's got to go to after phase one is done, and the expense. And the not only the expense of building it, the expense of maintaining it, the expense of people working there. I don't know if you've heard me say before, but this has got to find a home somewhere. I mean, it's got to be under somebody's regime, a department, so that it has its own budget. But there's going to be a lot of work in the next 5 to 7 years to make this complete. And it's going to be big. It's going to be super nice for the county, but it's also going to be some expense. And but hopefully there'll be enough money made there to cover the expenses once it's up and running. You know, it's kind of like any new business. You got to get it up and going.
The more campsites, whether it be primitive or RV or pull-along, that we can have, I mean, I was at a 500 site campground
exactly
this past weekend, and it was full.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So,
well,
yes,
yeah.
Whatever, however many we put in, it's going to be full.
We've been working on the outline for a management plan so that we understand better what the expenses would be. You know, when everything is complete, a day in the life, a perfect day in the life of the camp. You know, what expenses are we going to incur? And then what income can we see? So we've been working on that, but we'll talk to you about that when we have a work session.
Yeah.
The question of the water line came up, because in talking with Vines, their engineers, of course, they're ready to put those final specs together. And so the question was, you know, are you sure? Do you want to talk to the commissioners about bringing in water now? Because if you do, then we'll spec water, county water, for phase one, and we'll leave the well alone. Because there's a lot of maintenance with having a well, especially when you've got a public facility that's used all the time. So I believe what they're going to do is, unless you think you can find the money to get the well, the county water in, is we'll go ahead and we'll stick with the well.
That's
and it be adapted, can be adapted to county water later.
We're dealing with wells already.
Pardon?
We're dealing with wells already. That's how Berthier County gets their water. It's just not county water. It comes out of wells. So we got all the expertise of that. So I think that's the direction we need to move in.
It's an inexpensive fix.
Absolutely. And the other thing is, too, getting back to what you were talking about, and I know we need to have a work session on this, and I'm almost to the opinion that this needs to be a separate entity. Mm-hmm. It's going to be so large that it needs to be a separate entity and not combined into another department, okay, to the point where we have somebody that is actually attentive to it, because the amount of money that's going into this and the amount of money that could be coming back out to reinvest back into the property itself, especially, you know, dealing with the citizens and also people coming from out of town. You know, we're looking at that. So, again, a work session, we can get all these questions and answers done.
Right, right. Good.
Okay. Yeah. And it would be nice if we could advise to come in, because just like your question about how many campsites. Well, you know, like the chairman was just saying, she stayed in the place to have 500. We only plan for 20, and we only leave room to put 75 more. You know, we're defeating our purpose for making money for y'all's purpose.
And with those campsites, you're going to need sewer. You're going to need a septic system for your campers and things of that nature.
Right. We just wanted y'all to know about that versus.
Yes.
We just couldn't. There was no way we could find the money in our budget.
Let's make this a party for our next work session. Well, after budget.
Okay. So, again, in working with Vines last week and then again this morning, they're honing in on their final construction documents. And also a piece to that process is getting the final estimates on, you know, down to the nuts and bolts of what it's going to take to produce this. And they're thinking, or they're seeing, about a 7% increase in labor and materials. And that's not new news. Everybody's seeing that across the board. We really don't know until we put out the bids, you know. It may be less than that, but right now we're seeing a 7% increase. We don't have any flexibility in maneuvering the project because we're committed to our grantors. We're producing 3 bathrooms. So we're producing X amount of square feet of gravel parking. We're producing, you know, we can't change the scope of anything. So Vines is focused on that, you know, budget number. But because they're seeing that 7% increase, we needed to let you know and ask if those bids come in over 7%, you know, does Berthier, will they be able in October to come up with that 7% figure, which is about $65,000 to $70,000. So
you couldn't answer that question until we get through June.
Right. And until we can see, you know, what this pot of money that's coming from the federal government, what it can be used for. If it can be used for tourism, like I read, then I would think this would fall under that. So,
and again, it may not, we may get bids back and they may be lower than what we're looking at. But
well, one thing that we talked about this morning, too, we looked at the company that they had doing their estimates for, and they're out of Chapel Hill. So, you know, everything that has to be more expensive than what is the norm here. I mean, it just is.
Well, I'd like to stress the vines that we use as much local people. I mean, that's what we've done from since I've been elected, and that's what we need to continue to do.
When we put the bids out, it's just like when you put the bids out for your library and cooperative extension. You know, it's, the state says you got to have three, so we're hoping we'll get at least three. If not, then you know, you rebid it 7 days later, and we go to what you get. And hopefully, you know, we'll have some local people that will be bidding on. And again, I've never seen it when it wasn't less here than what it was when somebody was doing an estimate of Chapel Hill.
Right.
It just always is.
Right.
But vines, and we agreed, because the estimates, the current estimates are coming in 7% higher, we need to let you know. They're going to want, they need the flag, you know, to proceed with construction drawings or not. So we'll have to tell them you want us to wait till June. Is that what you said?
Well, we've got budget coming up in June. I mean,
yeah.
We have no idea where we're going to be.
We'll have budget talks before then, but yeah. And we got the list or the email today about how we can spend that money. I've not had a chance to read over it, but yeah. So you need a firm answer from us this evening?
Well, let me ask you a question. Excuse me.
Go ahead. Sure.
What's the difference of them making the construction drawings?
I think it's...
And say, hypothetically, we can't do the 65 or 70, but we got the drawings done. What's the issue there? I don't understand the issue.
I believe it's... that they're aware that there may be a price increase.
Okay, if there's a price increase, and we don't know what that price increase is, but what's stopping them from doing the drawings, the construction drawings?
They've been paid to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't comprehend what the issue is.
Well, they've been paid to do some of the work. I don't know that they have been paid
Well, I'm not getting a complete answer here. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Guys. I'm not getting a complete answer.
I think they can go ahead.
I can't get a complete answer from you guys. I can't make a decision.
Right. They can proceed on the drawings, and we'll report that we've, you know, discussed that there may be an increase and that we will get back to them in June.
Well, I just don't understand why they can't proceed on. I mean, with the drawings. I mean, it's covered by a grant, correct? I meant to...
that there may be an increase.
Okay.
I mean, that's
absolutely.
Okay.
Well, we actually
okay.
put contingencies in the budget for that, but
okay.
not that much by any means.
Well,
we started
yeah.
doing this a year ago. We had no idea that
right.
lumber prices were going
to
go up.
I guess the point I'm making, when I go to an architect and draw up a set of housing architecturals, okay, I'd have electrical, plumbing, everything, all the schematics that you have to have in South Florida, okay, to build a large home, say a 20,000 square foot home, okay? Nothing stops that. I mean, you got to have it, okay?
Okay.
We got to have that. It doesn't matter what it's going to bid out at the time, because we know there's going to be increases, and there could be decreases also. Now, yes, we're on this type of incline, okay, with the market. We understand that. I do anyhow. So make a long story short, I don't understand why there's an issue to not proceed forward with construction drawings.
So my understanding is if they proceed with the drawings, they proceed with getting the bids, then we have an idea of if it's 2%, 7%, 15%, Lord help us. At that point, then we can say, hold, we cannot do this 65% or $65,000 or whatever it is, the difference.
Right.
Then they hold up, you know, going through with the bids, and that figure is good for 2 or 3 months, however long it is. And,
right.
And then,
okay.
you know.
I think one of the biggest things with vines today was they just wanted y'all to be, certainly be
yes.
aware. Is that they didn't want you, when they come to present, they didn't want you to go, well, hold time out.
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
you not know about it. That was one of the biggest things that we
okay, but
about
the $65,000
yeah.
was not something on top of doing the drawings. It has
no,
to
no,
do
no.
with the construction.
Right.
Cost.
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
So I don't understand
so
why
I've,
we stop doing drawings. We keep going on.
I probably phrased that wrong. Steve is right. in the discussion this morning, it was they wanted to make you aware that this is a possibility.
Well, I know it's a possibility.
Yeah.
My whole thing is if you need us to say, you know, we need the construction drawing. We need construction drawing.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, our project at the airport went way beyond what it originally.
Well,
we had construction drawings actually before we could even go to bid. So.
Absolutely. Right. So I don't look exactly. So go ahead.
Okay.
We'll tip that all the time.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Are we moving up?
Yeah, one last slide and that's it. And this is just a quick list of what we're going to review with you when we have this next work session. If necessary, we can split the list in two. You know, we'll prioritize. But it's a good list. I'd really like to dive into the management plan and finding of a home for a tall glass of water, what that's going to look like. So anyway. Yeah, that'd be great. So
we really need to settle on a name too in our work session.
And that will be included. We're getting there. We've had a couple of, we have another one coming up this week with Vitalink, different names. So yeah, we're getting there. It's exciting.
And feel free to be thinking about names yourself, because I can tell you there was names they came up where we went. No way.
It's a process. It's a process.
Look, let me ask. Where are we with signs, so that the public will know exactly how to get there from 17?
Mm. Well, one thought is that until we're absolutely ready to handle the public, maybe we're not ready for signs yet, you know, because right now we've only got one portable outdoor restroom facility. So I know that all the citizens know where it's located, or most of them, but, you know, welcoming a lot of other people coming in when we're not ready yet.
Well, I think
so. I don't know, whatever y'all
are finding.
I think whether we're ready or not, here they come, because we were averaging what, 300 cars a weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're finding it.
Yeah.
And that's probably got three or four people per vehicle. That's 1,200 people a weekend.
I mean, if you all want signs up, we can put the signs in and then put another sign that says, you know, under construction or.
Well, you know, in my travel, a lot of the citizens of Beatrice County, they don't know exactly how to keep there, from 17 southbound lane.
Okay.
And northbound lane, you know. Yeah,
no. I had tons of calls last year asking for directions.
Yeah, how you get there? You know, we really need to have a
test. Mr. Manager, have we got a map on our website of how to get to the beach?
We do, and we have the address.
Great. Okay.
Well, that may be good for help. You know, maybe locate that on the signs, because you know they need to know.
They'll have to be.
We'll have to get those. But I feel comfortable we can get that through DOT
approval. We have a CAMA sign. But should we wait for our official name?
Right now they're blank. They don't have a name on them. They're just beach access.
Oh, yeah.
How about we add that to the work session? We'll show you all of our signage and then the possible locations for placement.
Right. Sounds good.
I think that has. We've also, a few weeks ago, we met with the risk insurance, William and Steve and I, out of the site. So we talked a lot about signs and about what, you know.
Swimming to risk.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So, all right. I can do that. Thank you. Thank you all. We're done.
All right.
We're ready.
Great. Thank you so much.
George and team.
Thanks.
Commissioner Wesson, did you have any questions for Robin?
Chair Lee, Commissioner Wesson is experiencing some technical issues. I got him trying to dial in now.
All right, let me know when he joins us back, please.
I would like to say to Robin this, you've done an excellent job.
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. You have a very good team.
I can't express, I mean, some of the stuff that you have sent me, reference to flooding and things of this nature and tall glass of water, you have done an outstanding job.
We'd be lost without it.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks.
Commissioner Wesson,
thank you.
All right, Commissioner Wesson, did you have any questions for Robin, or did you miss her presentation?
No, I heard most of it. Chair Lee, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Robin, here's my concern. I mean, I know all the things that we're planning are great things, and they're things that we absolutely need. I mean, obviously we need water, obviously we need electricity, but my concern is more on the short end, what we're doing right now. The short-term planning as well as the medium and the long-range planning to keep people, citizens, interested in the project. So I've been pushing to say we need some kind of another event or something at the beginning of this summer so citizens will remind them and want to come down there and want to enjoy it. And if there are any relatively small cost things that we can do, we have a budget that was put in for this year. So I'm concerned about right now. I mean, I know you guys have done a great job on the things that are planning and coming. I hear that. But what about the short end? What are we going to do right now for this summer to keep citizens interested?
Okay. We have some ideas on smaller activities that we could do. So can we add this to our, when we get together for the work session?
Oh, absolutely. Because one of the things what I talk to citizens, they tell me, look, it would be great if we had some kind of structure, a pavilion even, open air, that could be used for multiple events and bring revenue to the county immediately. So if I wanted to go out and have a church event, if I wanted to have a birthday party, or any kind of gathering, to be a cost to use that facility, just open air, and we could drive revenue immediately. I mean, those are the kinds of things that we could handle within our existing budget and make it more accessible and easy for citizens who want to come out. That's my interest right now. I know you're going to do the long-term planning. I've got faith in you, but we've got to keep this project alive in the eyes of citizens and others.
Okay. Well, we can get back to you on it as soon as possible.
Well, I don't know if you heard our discussion, but we are planning to have them right after budget to have them come do a work session with us. We've got to have infrastructure in place before we start having a whole lot of people down there, and the restrooms certainly would be a bonus rather than using the porta-johns. And,
absolutely, Shirley. I look forward to that in the work session, but that's why I wanted to put them on notice to identify some of the short-term things that we can do to keep interest there. So I welcome that.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that Dominion will give us some money right away for some ADA stuff down there to help those people go in down and enjoy the beach too. And whatever else they want to give us money for.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Well, we've moved away from phasing the project. What we're looking at now is we're looking at activity by activity. And we've worked with Vines on this a number of times. So, you know, what it will take to get the campgrounds done right now, and then alongside of that, what we can do to get the money, to get the community center in and the pavilions in, and they're all connected. So we're looking at the price for the pavilion and what it will take to build, and the pavilion's connected to the stage. So whatever we build, we want to make sure that we're not coming back and having to take it down, or, you know, it all has to fit together. So I think in the next work session, we'll go ahead and go through those plans in more detail.
Yeah. Robin, you have a tough job. You have five commissioners with all different ideas of what we'd like to see happen first, and then you see the long range plan, the big plan. And so you have a tough job. But
It's all good. More input, the better. But Commissioner Wesson, thank you.
Oh, thank you, Robin.
All right.
Thank you, Robin.
Thank you. So next on the list is the shoreline stabilization down at Virtue Beach or Tallgrass of Water by Mr. George Woods, which is Environmental Professionals Incorporated.
You got it.
Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much. I'm going to try to go through these slides fairly quickly because a lot of them are just to inform you about things that we looked at, alternatives we looked at in shoreline erosion control. And I want to spend as much time as possible talking about what the recommendation is. But first of all, I want to say I've had a distinct pleasure of working with two interns, and they're here tonight. So I have Kira Foster, who helped the review of the erosion rate at the site. She is a pursuing a degree in environmental science and sustainable development from Appalachian State University.
Oh, wonderful.
So that's great. And then I have Christopher Crone, who is a pursuing a degree in engineering at UNCW. And they were integral in getting the information together for you tonight.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Well, hopefully he brought you to Berkeley County early and you got to explore it, at least go down to our beach and, yeah, eat some of our wonderful food we have here.
Try that now. Okay. So stop me if any of these slides you have any questions, but I'm going to go through this fairly quickly, okay?
Okay.
So the primary purpose was to analyze different methods of erosion control for that shoreline. And these are the methods that we looked at. The alternatives were revetment, breakwater, bulkhead, seawall, vegetation, and no erosion control. And we're going to go through each one of those briefly.
Maybe.
You gone off and broke it, haven't you?
Okay, got it. So the very first thing that we had to do was we had to make a determination of the erosion rate at the site. Now, this is a lot of information on the slide, but basically, Kara reviewed erosion rate or orthophotographs from the year 2004 to 2020. The most important information that we have is down at the bottom, and that is that the erosion rate calculated from that information is 1.5 feet per year. And that's really, really important for us to know because that information is critical to what decisions we make with regards to the erosion control. If the erosion was higher than 5 feet per year, that changes perspective. If it's less than 2 feet, then we have some other considerations we can make. So the very first thing that we looked at were revetments. Revetments are those sloped structures, and they really are quite effective as far as protecting the base of the erosion escarpment. But they are very poor in two ways. One is they don't really do much for the forebeach preservation, and secondly, they're a hard structure which can create some problems with a public use area. So they are good. They work. They work well in a commercial atmosphere. And if they're designed well, the maintenance is pretty low. But as I mentioned, I heard you very clearly state that you're already getting tremendous use of the beach, and it's a very important part of this project. This type of structure is not conducive to the beach development. So we felt like that although it would be effective, we found it difficult to make a recommendation for its use because of the safety factors and also the beach use. Breakwaters. Breakwaters are similar to a revetment, but they are generally offshore, and they are something that absorbs the wave energy and protects the beach. Now, I've got a really poor example of the breakwater concept. That's stone breakwater, and we wouldn't propose anything like that. But there's two components that are really interesting to look at with this picture. One is that it creates a lower environment at a certain place, which creates the sand that comes out and actually forms a natural type of jetty, which preserves the sand for your sand beaches.
Almost like a lagoon.
It is. Yes, exactly.
I've seen that in the Caribbean.
Yes. Yes. And you might, hopefully, maybe it looks like it's going to play into a part of our recommendation too. So they're very effective. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to manage the energy at this site. That's why the erosion rate was really important to understand, is because with less energy, therefore we probably have less erosion rate, we could build less intense structures. Okay. So one of the problems with breakwaters for this site in particular is that while it maintains the sediment in the system, it also creates a structure that if it's built really large is going to be not conducive to public use of the beach. You'll have people climbing all over.
Snake Haven too.
It is a snake haven if it's rock.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, bulkheads, we all know bulkheads, and they are very effective. They are very effective at stopping the erosion. If we put one at the base of the escarpment, it would stop the recession of the shoreline. But because of the energy, that's an example of a bulkhead. But because bulkheads are vertical structures, when the waves come in, the energy is translated either up or down and then out, which will take away your beach. So even though they are very effective at controlling the erosion of the escarpment, they're probably going to adversely impact the bathing beach. Vegetation. In using vegetation, I was talking to Dr. Riggs. I believe you met Dr. Riggs.
Several times.
Okay, good.
Yeah, we love him.
I do, yeah. Too. He was my a thesis chair. And so he said that there were two things that he noticed. And one was that when the top of the erosion escarpment gets saturated with water, then it tends to have a failure at the top. And then when the waves come in at the bottom of the escarpment, you tend to have a failure there. Vegetation at the top of the hill, because of its roots, can stabilize that upper portion so that it's less likely to fall and to give way. And at the base, it absorbs the energy and therefore protects the base of the escarpment.
But is there some sloping that will have to be done to that? None?
It will slope itself.
Okay.
Yeah. Once we establish the vegetation at the base of the escarpment, we haven't cut off the sand source to a great degree. We've stopped the base of the erosion, and the escarpment will begin to flatten as the top begins to fail. Mm-hmm. And it will begin to flatten, and we project that could be anywhere from a 1-2 slope. So this is a 1-1 slope, 1-2 slope, to a 1-3 slope, somewhere in that range, 1-2 to 1-3 slope. And it'll be vegetated, so it's going to be relatively stable, and it will be it'll be effective. Okay.
How about maintenance?
That's part of the choice of plants, gotcha. Is to find plants that we don't have to do anything with. I'm
sure Donna and her crowd would be thrilled.
I heard that loud and clear when I was with them out there, is that they're already very overwhelmed. So the problem we have with vegetation is that it takes vegetation a while for them to really be affected because the roots have to get down into the soil to, that's really where the mitigation of the erosion occurs. And of course, if we have a storm event, vegetation can be taken out. So the vegetation issue is one that looks like it has promise, but it also is going to require some patience. It's low cost. If we source the materials correctly, it should be very successful and low maintenance. So we looked at no erosion control at all. And if we do no erosion control at all, then what we could expect is what you have right now. A receding shoreline at about 1.5 feet per year and a fairly steep erosion escarpment, probably about a 1-to-1 erosion escarpment. So we can look at some examples. This is the site itself. We can look at some of the examples of what happens if we do no vegetation at all, or just use the existing vegetation there, or if we are wise and plant vegetation in certain places. The vegetation creates in this case, an offshore structure, which mitigates the energy. And then those isthmuses start to build out, which are kind of like natural jetties, they're called tombolos. And they trap the sand. They keep the sand on the beach for a little bit longer than it'd be just being transported out. So after much thought, we recommend to you that we go with the vegetation consideration. That we plant the top of the hill with natural vegetation for about an area about 30 feet back from the crest of the escarpment. It does two things. One is it provides some control of that upper portion of the escarpment. It will probably dissuade people from coming and playing on the escarpment because we're going to plant natural vegetation, so it'll be brambly. You know, it won't be.
No cactus,
but still, you know, you won't have a lot of people walking through there. But also that vegetation at the top, if we choose it just right, even if it does fail, when it falls down that escarpment, it will stop itself and it will begin to vegetate wherever it is and start stabilizing the face of that escarpment. At the bottom, we're looking at probably planting cypress trees. Something that grows there well. They are a great erosion control vegetation, and they're beautiful. This is the part that that we discussed quite a bit, and that is we've been talking about the controlling the escarpment, but we want to control that sandy beach. Make sure that we have that sandy beach to stay there. So that it can be a major component of the recreational activities. We're recommending that we build an offshore breakwater out of unsalt treated wood so that it will not last long. Just long enough so that we can plant behind that breakwater some cypress trees, much like we saw in the previous picture, and get those established so we can create those tombolos, and therefore, when the breakwater is no longer existing, then we have the cypress trees established, and we have the shoreline stabilized.
Has that been tried already somewhere?
Oh yeah,
tried and true. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So the reason we recommend this action is because we understand from the decision documents that you've been through that you want to do something that provides an unforgettable educational venue. And this can be a great opportunity to join with your local college, with your local high school kids, with 4-H, with other organizations to get them involved in creating these structures. And also for your visitors with information signs, it can be a great way for them to understand how you can interact with your environment with in a more natural way. So of all the options we talked about, the vegetation has the greatest chance for maintaining the bathing beach without adversely affecting it. And that's primary, we understand that. Also, I heard you speak before, just tonight. You got to pay for this. And vegetation provides us with the widest range of sources for funding. In fact, I think Robin's already been approached about applying for a grant because of if we use a more natural approach, then it is more likely to receive some funding so it's a demonstration project, really, that you can do this sort of thing and it be effective. So there could be money in it to pay for it. And last, although kind of difficult to encapsulate, there's a long history. I grew up in Eastern North Carolina and in the country, and there's a long history in all of our families of our relationship of us and the environment around us. And in many ways, we've lost some of that. And this is a way to introduce the new kids that come along with and reintroduce them to that concept.
Does your recommendations, will CAMA go for it?
Yep. Yes, they will. We haven't come up with a final design yet, but I can tell you it can be designed so that it is permittable. Yes. So this is a picture of the shoreline, and you can see that the bathing beach is primarily on the northern portion, and also that is where you also have some archaeological resources that they're beginning to excavate. So we should be able to accommodate bathing beach, protection of the archaeological resources for a time being, and also funding sources and the reconnection of the community in the excitement about what's happening out here by getting them involved in this really low-tech, easy-to-implement project. The only thing that requires any special skill would be construction of the breakwaters. The rest of it is labor. And that's where you can get the kids involved and become stewards. I won't be around much longer, but they will be. And if they have a sense of ownership in it, then I think you're going to see this site maintained.
Well, they're more likely to tell the kids that want to climb it, get off of that.
Yes.
Yeah, if they have a hand in it.
And the kids that are climbing are more likely to listen to them.
Yes, yeah.
So thank you very much. I'll answer any questions you may have.
What's up, Chairman Lee? This is Commissioner Wesson. I just wanted to say that I love the idea of including, you know, citizens in some of this work, especially kids. And, you know, we have a really, really great 4-H program here under Corporate Extension. And they are always love projects like this to get involved in. So I think if we brought this to the attention of them, you know, as it goes forward, I think they'd love to be a part of this.
I agree with you, Commissioner Wesson. To me, that is how you build community support. That is how you build something that goes beyond me or you and all of us. You know, it'll go forward because these kids are going to grow up and have kids, and they're going to say with pride, I did that.
That's right.
That's right.
And also, most of our seniors need a community project in order to graduate. So they're always looking for community projects. I use several of them in my little 501c3 in the backpack. So they get credit as seniors for graduation. So again, another way of involving them.
Any other questions?
Thank you. I think you've done a great job. I think this will be a good live project for FFA, which my grandson loves the organization. He loves going outside planting things and seeing them grow, you know. And that's good. It's a really good project with that major school and the county can partnership with. Oh, thank you.
So what I need tonight is some nod to move forward with the recommendation so that we can begin collecting the information that's necessary. In fact, Kira and Christopher and I are going to be on site Wednesday. We're going to do a vegetation survey. If you say, yeah, this looks okay, we're going to do a vegetation survey so we can begin into the next phase, which is understanding where we could source plants, what the cost would be in preparation for a grant submittal, I believe in June 30th. So we have to get together a lot of information for that grant proposal, and that grant would go a long way to, if not entirely, fund the project.
Well, after our last visit with you and you presented to us, Commissioner Atkins went and did some homework, and he relayed to us some of his findings. And I'll take a motion to go with his recommendation.
I'll make a motion that Mr. Woods move forward with his research and grant proposal towards this project.
Yeah. Going with, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. You have it.
Thank you.
There you
go. Thank you.
All right, so moving on with the agenda, there are no board appointments, correct? Okay. So we'll move down to the consent agenda items. Thank you all for joining us, and good luck with your studies, young people. Yeah. So I'd like to take this 1 through 6 as a group, but I'd like to open it up for any questions on any of these items, if anyone has any questions. If not, I'll take a motion on 1 through 6.
I'll make a motion that we accept the agenda item C, 1 through 6.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Number 7, I'm going to turn over to the county attorney, and he's going to give us a little update on this.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just trying to get my microphone on here. Well, from the NCACC perspective, I think the board probably knows as much as I do about what's going on with a memorandum of agreement that's been discussed about how the funds of any opioid settlement would be handled in the state of North Carolina. The National Opioid Council has been recommending and asking and hoping that each state would go ahead and take the initiative to come up with a plan on how the funds would be distributed in that state once the settlement is reached. There has been no nationwide settlement reached yet. Things are gradually moving in that direction. So it's my understanding that the North Carolina AG's office and the North Carolina Association of County Commissioners have been discussing for some period of time how funds upon a settlement could be allocated in North Carolina. It sounds like they come up with a great idea, and it's widely supported. And so it's being discussed. I know that we have been presented with that proposal under the form of a memorandum of agreement with some answers to frequently asked questions, and so you guys have that. The only hiccup in it is that the state and national opioid council, who are representing counties and municipalities, weren't actually in the heart of the discussions. They have asked for a pause. And these are the attorneys that are representing Bertie County, both again, state and federal. I've just sent a letter to us. I got a letter, and I know that at least one of the county commissioners had gotten a letter separate from me. Very simple one paragraph letter from the National Council that's representing us in the opioid case, saying they're asking us to have a pause, they call it, just to give, frankly, maybe just a few days, it might be just a week or two, for the opioid council to be sure that some matters are at least addressed that they have some mild concern about. And this is just mild concern. I talked to Jake Daniel today, who is one of our North Carolina opioid case attorneys, and he explained to me just briefly what a couple of the concerns are. And he said that it looks like, you know, definitely the state is heading in the direction that the council wanted the state to head in terms of figuring out how the funds of a settlement will be allocated. But he said there were some loose ends that just really need to be addressed. Like one thing is there's a 12-member, can't completely read my handwriting. even with my glasses on now. It's a coordination group. I couldn't do a coordination. It is discussed in the materials. Matter of fact, it's discussed on page 9 of the 10-page summary, 10-page questions and answers. That group is, even after the memorandum of agreement under the proposal, even after that allocation is set, over the money's going to be coming in from different defendants in different amounts over potentially 18 years. And that group, it's understandable why there might be a group that, a small group, a nimble, flexible group of both attorneys, county commissioners, county managers, that would be able to react to some of the new money coming in over time, because, again, it's not all going to come in at one time. And so they'd be able to make some decisions on the fly and not have to involve every single county and every single party in the whole matter. That's a somewhat powerful group if they're given that authority to make decisions 6, 8, 10 years from now on how some of the direction of the money and some of the decisions there. So the National Council, State Council want to discuss that a little bit and just make sure that there's some the right questions are posed and answers obtained. And then another part of it's attorney's fees. There's over 1,000 law firms involved across the country in this, both in the states and also federally, nationwide. And most of them have contingency fee agreements. Like, for instance, Bertie County has a contingency fee agreement with the National Council. Well, the attorneys are identified. I went back and looked at our agreement. They're identified as both the National Council and state as a group. And so in the memorandum of agreement, I don't think the word attorney is mentioned anywhere in the 38 pages or whatever. I think that the attorneys want some clarification of how they'll be paid their contingency fee. Because, we don't have attorneys unless we pay. We don't have sufficient, adequate counsel unless we're willing to pay them. And so, in this case, it's very much like a lot of cases under contingency. But it's stated at 25%. They've already indicated they will take less than 25%. I've even heard some discussion about that. But they want something, I guess something at least stated generally that they'll be paid in some form or fashion.
Gotcha.
from the settlement. Now, I feel like, I mean, they've got contingency fee agreements with all their clients. So regardless of how the money's allocated among the state, whether it's state, counties, or the that sort of other fund, they have a contract. They're going to get, I mean, my thought is they're going to get paid, but I guess they just want a little more, assurance that there's not going to be money. Well, I was looking at the agreement. It does state that the money will be paid, like on page two, will be paid directly to the counties and state. On page five of the actual agreement, it says under allocation of settlement proceeds, it says the funds shall be distributed directly to the state and local governments in such proportions and such uses as set forth herein. So, I mean, I guess that one phrase right there, they might want some assurance that somehow the attorneys will get paid some amount from the proceeds. So I know that's one issue of it. And so they just say, they want to pause just to make sure that all the issues that are addressed that need to be addressed. And my understanding is there's no rush in terms of getting this resolved. Now, I know I've seen the materials from the Association of County Commissioners. I know that it's desirable to do this sooner than later, because we want to go ahead and present a unified front to everybody involved, in particular the opioid distributors and manufacturers, so they know that they're not, you know, they'll be more likely to move forward with a real settlement proposal if they know that everybody's getting on board, that each, this state, that state, this state, that the counties are gradually or quickly signing on, getting, like for North Carolina, getting closer and closer to 100 counties. Because the closer you get to 100 counties and everybody involved in the litigation and everybody involved in the issue, the closer you get to full 100% participation. And the sooner you do that, the more likely I think the defendants will offer something. So
your recommendation is to put it on pause for right now and remove it from the agenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Until you tell us otherwise.
That's correct.
All right. Is everybody in favor of that? Yeah. Just need a consensus.
Yeah.
Good. Mm-hmm. All right. Commissioner Wesson, are you in agreement to remove this item?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Chairman Lee, yes, I am in favor of the pause. I spoke with Kevin Leonard, the executive director of our association, about 5 o'clock today. And he asked me to make sure that I asked you, Juan, and Jonathan to be on the call on Thursday. This is the call they have every Thursday, because this matter may be settled as soon as then. They're having that meeting today with the DOJ and with representatives from the attorneys. As Jonathan stated, the key point here is assurance that the state attorneys representing North Carolina, representing us, will in fact get paid if we build out a separate agreement just for the state. The original agreement says that the attorneys will get paid from the national. So they want assurance that if North Carolina builds its separate agreement, that they still will get paid and how that will be. And so that's what they're working on today. So if you guys could join that call on Thursday, they're likely to have a resolution to this.
I will do my best. If you'll send me the information, call him.
Yeah, Juan has it. He can get that to you.
All right. Thank you. All right. So we'll pause that for right now. Moving on to discussion items, update on ribbon cutting planning for the library and the Blue Jay Recreational Department. County Manager?
Yes, thank you. Starting with the library cooperative extension, at our last meeting, the board voted to have the ribbon cutting, a tentative date for the ribbon cutting, as Thursday, June 17th. And upon checking with the parties who need to be in attendance, everyone was in agreement until Golden Link recently contacted us and asked us if we would move it to June 16th. So now I just need to circle back around to all of those parties to see, and I wanted to ask the board, is June 16th a date that will work for everyone? Golden Leaf is...
I'm good with the 16th.
I'm good.
Okay.
Commissioner Wesson,
what time is that?
June the 16th, is that good for you?
Absolutely.
All right.
June the 16th is great.
Very good. Okay. So we will move forward with making sure that works for everyone, and hopefully it will, and we will
continue. That's still at 10?
Still at 10 o'clock, okay. June 16th.
Hi.
Okay. That takes care of Library Cooperative Extension. Now for Blue Jay, that was supposed to be the Monday before, which is the 14th. And we're running into a couple of issues there, that not being a convenient date, as well as Anthony just needing some more time to do some small things that need to be taken care of at the facility. So I would like to ask if we can schedule it for at least an additional week or two out, if not even farther.
If we get too much further, we're into July, and correct, it's going to be so
right,
hot.
Right. So if you want to, we can do the last week of June is fine. And I think you wanted it to be on a Monday, because Senator Bazemore,
right,
that will work for her. So if June 28th is a good day.
It may still be too hot, but we'll try it.
And that date again, Juan, with 28th, is that what I heard?
Yes, sir, June 28th.
Time on that?
10 o'clock.
Okay. All right. That works better because we have a commissioner's meeting that evening, so we won't. Okay. So read those dates again.
Library and Cooperative Extension with June 16th.
Yes.
O'clock.
Okay.
And Blue Jay Recreation Center, Monday, June 28th at 10 o'clock.
Okay. Everybody straight?
You got a commissioner's meeting on the 14th.
14th.
All right. Next on the agenda is discussion for the 2021 Berkey River Fest. And you heard Commissioner Wesson speak about this earlier. I'll let you lead the discussion.
Okay. Yes. So Commissioner Wesson spoke about it earlier, as well as the last meeting. And before, when this, we were considering having another River Fest day before COVID, it was suggested that we utilize the food trucks to come down and have the people who decided to come out that day, who would be on them, would be on everyone who was in attendance, versus last time how we provided food for everyone. So if that's something that the board would like to do, if we would still possible to do that, we just have to set a date and check with the food trucks to see if they're available. But that is what the plan was initially, and that will be one way to, of course, reduce our cost.
Yes. But can we set the date and see where the committee takes us, checking on those food trucks? Because I know when I tried to get something for the airport, mm-hmm, I got disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And my food truck that I wanted was booked.
Right.
So
right,
they book way out in advance.
Okay.
So, yes. Well, Chairman Lee and Juan, I think the committee should certainly look at the availability of food trucks, and not just, obviously there are several in the county, but there's several around here too. You look at the community college over in Williamston, they have three different food trucks that serve them every week. But in addition to that, I think the committee ought to look at just how we could have, something nice. Doesn't have to be expensive. Even if we did hot dogs and popcorn or something, just something to refreshments for people to come out. We're not trying to give anybody a whole meal, but it's nice to have an event and have something to drink and some light refreshments. That's all we need to welcome them to their property.
How much did we budget for this event? Did we budget anything? I was thinking we didn't because of COVID, but I can't recall.
We do have something budgeted. Can't say exactly right now how much we budgeted for this particular event, but we do have some funds that we can use for this event.
Okay.
So just depending on how much the board wants us to spend on it, we have some funds available for use for this.
Is there an active committee? Or are we going to have to start from scratch? And if so, do we have time for all that?
There is a committee. I can't say it hasn't been active for the last year because of COVID, and we time. So we can get the committee up and going. But again, at a certain point, yes, there was a committee.
I mean, our staff have worked hard, and we don't want to put any extra pressure on them. So, an event would be wonderful. A less costly event, in my opinion, would be wonderful. But let's see if you can get the committee together and see if they can come up with some plans if they're not already in place from where we were going to do it before.
Okay.
What does everybody else think? I spoke without asking. Sorry.
That's fine.
And great idea.
And then
I don't think we necessarily have to do anything crazy expensive. I don't think that's what folks are looking for. I think they just look something that would welcome them, some light refreshments. The last time we had the canoes and stuff free from the place down in Nag's Head, we just need a good committee to plan something that's not expensive, but have some entertainment there for families that would come down.
When Commissioner Wesson and I were speaking about this earlier in the day, I asked him would he be willing to join that committee. He's not able to really leave the house right now and join, but he could certainly join by phone and be a part of that committee. So, and he graciously accepted that. So
then I'd be happy to.
The challenge.
Last time Sarah did a lot on the committee because, you know, she had some experience in planning things for us. I just think we need to pull that committee back together, Juan, but we do need someone, a county person, to kind of head that, if they will, to take the role that Sarah. So if that's LaShonda or whoever we put in that place, they're going to need some help. Sarah was around long enough to know how these things work. So let's make sure that committee has good people on it that can move this thing forward.
Yes, sir.
And we may have some employees that would like to volunteer to be on that committee, and that would be great. All right. Any other discussion on that item?
Nope.
Cool. All right. Commissioner's reports. Commissioner Robertson.
Well, my report is this. I'd like to remind everyone about our Saturday vaccination shot from round two, and if you have not had round two, they will still give you round one. It's at four different locations, and everybody's on board. I spoke with Bryant today from Bottom Hospital, and everybody's on board for the weekend. This coming weekend, we'll be in at CG White from 9 o'clock until 12:30. At the same time, we're going to be at Blue Jays Recreation Center from 9 o'clock to 12:30. In the afternoon, we'll be at Windsor Community Building from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock. At the same time, we're going to be at West Bertie Elementary School in Kefford from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
Okay. That's it?
That's it. Thank you.
Commissioner Trent?
Yeah. I'd like to announce that West Bertie County, that Eddie Kane Steel has bought Golden Peanuts. Eddie Kane Steel is a major steel corporation. Home office is out of New Jersey. They got plants in Los Angeles, California, Stansburg, Virginia, and North Carolina also, and in numerous other states. Thursday will be meeting. They'll be laying out a plan, and more information will follow after that meeting.
Okay. Commissioner Atkins. Commissioner Wesson?
Yes. Thank you, Chairman. First thing, I'd like, again, just to say thank you to the commissioners and to everybody in the county. A lot of folks know that I'm recovering from a fairly serious back surgery. Getting better every single day, and I look forward to being there very soon in person at our meetings, but I'm delighted to have the opportunity to at least participate by Zoom. Let me, first of all, second and thank Commissioner Robinson for his work on the community-based vaccination effort that's coming up this Saturday. He's correct. The main thing I want people to know is if you got your shot, come back. We're going to be contacting them individually. But any new citizens who have not been vaccinated, you can come and get your first shot. You will have to then go to VITA for this follow-up shot, and they will follow up with you on it. So that's going to be a great event. We had a great turnout on the first one, and we hope to have that same kind of turnout this time. Last week, I had the opportunity to be on a national radio show that's syndicated across the country. And if a lot of you remember Emily Pelleton, who worked to build the farmers market for us. You know, she was paid by the community college, but worked in the school system when Chip Zellinger was here, and they helped build the farmers market. She wrote a book called Build It and They Will Come from her experience. And that's been going to be turned into a movie about that experience. It won't be filmed here in Bertie, but it will be built off of that book. I think the same person who is the producer of one of those, police TV shows that's on every week, the NYPD or something, is the same person behind this with the money. But it's going to talk about Bertie County and their attempt to engage students in doing some hands-on kinds of things. So I was happy to be on that show and talk about how Bertie County has evolved since then and look, some of the projects that we're working on here. So I hope I did justice to it. But that's it for me. Thank you.
All right, thank you. This afternoon, I was on a call with BOAD, which stands for Voluntary Organization in a Disaster. BOAD is attempting to revitalize or reconstruct BERT Interfaith Recovery Team. And they are asking for volunteers to join this group. This group they've done a remarkable job with what few members they have, but they are asking, they need more members to come out and join them. We need new folks as president and vice president and secretary and treasurer. We had 18 on the call today, I believe, if memory serves me correct. But we will be having an in-person meeting. Lord have mercy. Yeah. I'll have to get that information out because I don't remember when that is. But I'll be putting it on my Facebook page. So for those of you that are friends with me, and I'll get the county to put it on ours. But it's an important group, and we need some workers to be a part of that group. Some people that love the county, love the people here, and want to help in time of disaster. County Manager's Report.
No attorney report.
Okay, cool. We are going into, wait a minute, back up again. So public comment section again. Ms. Cartwright, are there any public comments?
Shelley, there's no public comments at this time.
All right, thank you so much. So we are going into closed session under General Statute 143-318.11A6. Do I have a motion to go into closed session?
Second.
All in favor say aye. Ms. Cartwright, if you'll put everybody in the waiting. Ms. Cartwright, if there's anybody left in the waiting room, you can bring them back into the meeting, please.
There's no one left in the waiting room.
So there's two different, yeah. So we're back in open public meeting. We do have an item to consider. I will take a motion. And what we discussed in closed session, and there's no need to explain all that, with the county manager's recommendation, somebody want to make a motion?
I will make a motion to move forward with tax customer service representation position from grade 59 to grade 60, consistent with the other customer service representative positions in the county.
Is there a second on this motion?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Is there a second motion someone would like to make?
I'll make a motion for a second motion. I'll make a motion that the employee currently holding position tax customer service representative to be placed at the current rate of those working within a similar grade 60 with similar years of experience.
Is there a second on this motion?
I'll second.
All in favor say aye. Did you have something to say, Mr. Atkins? Okay. All right, so you can make those changes and advise those employees.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I will take a motion to adjourn if there's no other business.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Ah, thank you. Thank you.